Adventurer! You're back! Over here.
So then, what are you having? It's your call.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Jonathan Harden, and joined by Dylan Glazer.
What's up?
And Jack Bristol.
How do you do?
And today on You Call the Shots, our Choose Your Own Adventure show, in which we also drink, because that's the one thing these books are missing, is alcohol.
Yay!
We are going to be reading Forecast from Stonehenge. We've got what looks like Dementors standing in front of Stonehenge right here in a dark and stormy night. Originally released in... Oh, the other one said. Where's... Oh, it doesn't say. Ooh, that's, there's the mystery, is when was this book actually made?
That's the real point of the book, is find out when this book was made.
Who made this? When and why? Yeah, because the Zeus one took place in 1985.
It was released in 1985, and it had an update in 2018. This one, it seems like, was actually released a little bit later. I was looking for the original versus re-release, but it says that everything is released in 2006. So this is, even though it was in the same box set as the Throne of Zeus, this is, Forecast from Stonehenge.
So this one is 21 years older than the other one?
It is 21 years older, and yet it is somehow in the same
exact
set. We
can get this book a drink.
As before, we have not looked at this book, we haven't cracked it, we haven't read a word of this book, so it'll all be completely fresh to us. Quick reminder on the drinking rules. If we die, we all take a shot and we start over. There is no cheating, no thumbs in the pages, no nothing like that. We're going to try again this time. Last time we actually got through and we won the book without dying once, which we fully did not expect because of the absurd deaths in all these books, but we did. For now, I'm going to say we hold the rule on we don't get to hold a thumb on the page if we die, but once during this book, Dylan and Jack have one chance to invoke the thumb, in which we keep the thumb on the page. They have to finish their drink, but we can go back and redo that choice. If we miraculously make it to the end to a win without dying once, we do drink an Irish car bomb to celebrate, which is ended up happening last time. We didn't expect it, but there we go. Haven't done these books before, again, the unsuspected may happen at any time. We don't know.
I'll drink an Irish car bomb to celebrate losing.
Yeah, or losing. I mean, I'm not going to stop you from drinking an extra Irish car bomb.
Better not
celebration
stop me.
Or consolation, that's always a good prize
exactly.
to have.
Exactly.
No better stop me.
And...
Living
one
your
more,
best life.
And last roll. On split, so in for the most part, I'm going to basically be DMing here. I'm going to read the text and break any kind of tie votes, but on any split decisions, either Dylan or Jack here can wager drinks on those split decisions. If you think the other is a bad call, you can bet whatever number of drinks or a shot if you're feeling particularly high risk. If it is a bad call, the other person has to drink that number of drinks.
Wah, wah.
If it turns out to be fine, you drink that number of drinks. Wah, wah. All right, so like we said, we got Forecast from Stonehenge by R.A. Montgomery.
Looks pretty scary. I'll say that Forecast from Stonehenge looks pretty dark and foggy. So looks like they experienced some pretty harsh weather.
Yeah, I mean, truth be told, the weather does look a bit grim, but I'm just more concerned with the cloaked figures they have on the cover. I mean, like... Yeah, we've all seen a thunderstorm, but throwing a cultist, whoa, that's a red flag right there.
Again, they either look like Dementors, Ringwraiths, or clan members in particularly bad light. and the inside art has a sickle on it. Not very,
I just hope the whole idea of the book is just you literally just trying to figure out what the forecast is for the next day's weather.
Your weather app book. Is broken. The Channel 6 news.
Partly cloudy over Stonehenge.
And Dementors sucking souls out.
Back to 25 degrees Celsius because we're at Stonehenge.
We go live now to Tom Brokaw in our live report. Tom, and it's just like a dead body with a sickle on his back. All right, Tom, that was... unexpected, but we'll be back after these messages.
Tell you about unexpected. The words just came out of Jack's mouth. What the fuck?
Like he was killed by the sickle.
I have a lot of questions about that. Why is Tom Brokaw over there in Stonehenge?
I just thought,
why does he have a sickle on his back? He's retired. He's not even... He's American.
Tom Brokaw was the only name I could think of for a caster, but I'm getting ahead of myself, so.
that's one way to put it. So
mystery
here
at Stonehenge.
We've got the Star Wars text crawl here at the beginning, as before. Beware and warning, this book is different from other books. You and you alone are in charge of what happens in this story. There are dangers, choices, adventures, and consequences. You must use all of your numerous talents and much of your enormous intelligence. Why, thank you. The wrong decision could end in disaster, even death. But don't despair. At any time, you can go back and make another choice, alter the path of your story, and change its result. I mean,
who is this you guy?
I've heard of you.
Seems like an asshole.
It's actually an acronym for Youth on Unison. So it's actually a group of people. They just call it you to make it simple.
Sounds like a church group, Youth on Unison. So here's our backstory. You travel to Stonehenge on the summer solstice. Again with the solstice. The Throne of Zeus is on the solstice as well. All right. You travel to Stonehenge on the summer solstice, the most sacred day in the Druid calendar.
She doesn't look Druish.
You are supposed to meet a man named Alistair who knows something about the famously missing heelstone of Stonehenge. But when you arrive, the site is crowded with all sorts of people dressed in costume for the special day. I mean, everyone knows what a summer solstice costume is.
Isn't that just like a goat's head and like pagan blood and like the... Oh,
I mean, God, I don't have a better guess than that.
What is it?
The summer solstice?
Yeah, the summer solstice. You guys don't have costumes for that?
No.
You just light yourself on fire.
Oh, yeah. Closest to the sun.
Yeah, that's the closest time you're to the sun, so you gotta feel the heat.
Okay, I just get pissed drunk and go to a tanning bed, but, you know, that's just me.
That's not lighting yourself on fire.
In a way, it is.
All right. No, it's not.
You must exercise caution, as not everyone is who they appear to be. If you find Alistair, he could lead you to archaeological fame and fortune, or to certain death.
Hmm.
Are you ready to learn the ancient dark secrets that Stonehenge has in store for you?
I'm ready!
I'm ready! Full disclosure, we are also coming hot on the heels of our Throne of Zeus podcast, so it could be the case that we are already a little buzzed from said drinks.
Yeah, you guys are.
Dylan's just very sober and very cynical, which will keep me in check.
This is where I take advantage, is I bet all of the shots against you guys, because I don't have anything to lose.
Technically, he can't even drink, so you're just betting the shots against me.
Why can't he drink?
I can drink,
He has a beer in front of him.
Yeah.
So I was just like, to wet my whistle as I read the pages of the novel.
Does he put it in his mouth and spit it out? No, what are you talking about?
So with these split decisions, like you're wagering drinks because y'all are tied, since there's got to be a tiebreaker, I'm the tiebreaker here. If I'm on the losing side of the tiebreaker, I absolutely have to drink too. That's part of the deal.
That's true.
Why didn't you
take
a shot after
that.
The last one, John?
Because I was on the winning side.
Oh. Damn right. Hey. We stick together, JB and JH.
All right. So here we have... Oh, we start with a lovely full art of Stonehenge.
Plot twist. It's actually beautiful. Nothing but stones. Stonehenge is made of stones.
The forecast from that looks like it's going to be sunny.
Sunny with a chance of cats watching Stonehenge for reasons.
Wait, is that a cat or a dog?
They're the guardians
of Stonehenge.
That's
absolutely a cat. Come on.
I don't know. Ears. Yeah.
No, yeah. The way it has its nose pointed out, it looks like...
No, that's a cat.
That's 100%
a cat. That is a cat.
You already drunk.
Jesus.
I have to say, the person with this number 2 pencil with the crosshatch drawing is pretty good.
They're shading down.
That's like L.A. Noir style. He just ditches out something really quick.
All right, here we go. You have been back home in London, England, for less than 2 hours when your cell phone rings. Oh, if they're English, I gotta do the accent. You've been back home in London, England, for less than 2 hours when your cell phone rings. You check the incoming number. Hello, Twig, you say before your best friend can say anything.
His name's Twig?
Twig.
Yeah. Wait, what kind of accent are we going with? Are we going with a British RP or are we going with Cockney?
Yeah, all right.
Or
neither.
Any fucking of the other thousands of accents that they have.
Oh, we're talking about Yorkshire
now.
I'm
going
to go
with a standard British. It's not RP. It's not Cockney. Though Cockney, modern Cockney is a thing. I'm just going to go with your standard British thing.
What about Scotland?
Harry Potter. All right. So, hello, Twig, you say before your best friend can say anything. Ha, you're back. I need your help to do something, your friend replies. Hey, Twig, how about a... What? Oh. Hey, Twig, how about a nice to have you home? How was Greece? I've been away 3 weeks, you say. No time for chit-chat, twig snaps. This is serious. Besides, I know you had a good time in Greece because I read your blog.
The fuck?
So he knows
what... So we have a blog.
Yeah. The blogger.
He okay. knows about Zeus.
Okay, what's the problem then, you ask? I need you to go to Stonehenge today to meet someone, Twig replies. Twig replies.
The narration. It sounded like Tweak, like from South Park. What? That's too much pressure. I can't go to Stonehenge in a day.
Why don't you go? You mean the Stonehenge? In your mind, you see the ancient stone monument that sits on the Salisbury Plain. Salisbury? For 5,000 years, people have wondered how the huge stones were put so precisely in place and what they were used for. I can't go, Twig croaks. 6 broken ribs and a cracked collarbone. Jesus Christ. Was he in a car wreck?
Maybe he's a rugby like player.
Got the fucking shit.
Oh, okay, here we go. Before you can ask how he broke all those bones, Twig reads your thoughts. Over the weekend, he says, rock climbing in Sussex. I fell. Can't leave bed for 2 weeks.
Bullshit. He's a fucking liar.
Probably.
But drug money. Drug deal gone wrong.
But if you will go to this meeting for me, I will be on standby. Standby for what? You ask incredulously. In case you get in trouble, Twig replies. Okay, yeah, I agree. He's a liar. He
what
fucking knows
what the fuck is wrong
up.
With this guy. Yeah, he's literally setting this guy up. He's screwing us over.
Hey,
he's going to set us up
yeah,
for something.
Hey, go to Stonehenge to meet someone. Okay, who and why should I do that? I can't go because I broke my ribs. When the fuck did you break your ribs? I rock climb. When did you go rock climbing? I'll help you out. How? Yeah.
Don't ask any questions. I'm hospital bedridden because I broke all of my ribs. It'll be fine. Bye.
But I can help you. I'll call the authorities and say, oh, yes, he's my son. Let him go.
Whatever the fuck. Like, oh, Ferris Bueller style? Yeah.
Yeah. He's the British Ferris Bueller.
Then it occurs to you, today is June 21st, the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year. It's also the day the sun will set exactly between the two largest stones, or megaliths, at the site. The Druids who worshipped at Stonehenge considered it the most sacred day of the year, or at least that is what most people think now. But I didn't think people were allowed near Stonehenge on the solstice, you say. Not for the past 30 years, Twig replies, but the authorities have decided to open it this year, with heavy police escort. Who am I supposed to meet, you ask? And why? A fellow named Alistair Shepherd. He claims he has information on the missing Healstone. Really, you say. The Healstone. Finally, you are intrigued. The missing Healstone is a Stonehenge controversy. It stems back to the very first known photograph of Stonehenge taken in 1853. Is it a lithograph, maybe? Many of the stones had fallen over. Then in the 1920s, the henge was rebuilt, and one of the stones from the 1853 photo disappeared, the Healstone. How do you know that this Alistair is not just some kook, you ask? Well, I don't, but it's worth a meeting. Listen, there's not much time. I suggest a cab. You glance at your watch. 6 p.m., about 3 hours till sundown. Wow. Oh, yeah, summer solstice. That'll do it. Okay, I'll go. I knew you'd do it, Twig says. I'll cover expenses, of course. Of course, you reply. Where am I supposed to meet this Alistair Shepherd again? Just inside the outer ring of megalith set sunset. Because megaliths isn't, normal. Twig replies. He's about 5'6", plump with a silver beard. He'll be wearing a druid's cloak with silver embroidery on the sleeves, and he'll be carrying a small brown leather satchel.
If you're looking for a really bad Gandalf cosplayer, that's your man.
For real. Yeah, pop quiz. What the fuck is a druid's cloak?
Who is this guy's name that's talking to us?
A druid's cloak, Twig. I believe, is going to be a white or grayish cloak, usually with some sort of design depicting a tree. Normally, it's like the Celtic symbol with... Because my grandmother actually gave me a t-shirt with like the Celtic symbol on it, but...
Okay.
Yeah, basically white or gray, but with like brownish marks either from the dirt or representing tree in nature.
I'm going to take your word for it because I have no no counter to that.
Well, saw it once in our
in this black and white in this black and white pencil drawings, if we see someone with a black and white cloak, then we'll know it's him.
How do you know if it's black or white? It's in pencil.
You know, screw it. I'll take a shot wager if they actually have a druid's cloak on the page.
Oh, okay. What looks like a Commedia dell'arte like costume festival here on this drawing. 2 hours later, your taxi is pulling up to the car park across the road from the Stonehenge Monument. Civilian cars were forced to park several miles back in the town of Amesbury. It was sheer luck that they were letting taxis in this close. You pay the driver £80 and climb out. Holy shit.
Is that a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How
far of a drive was it?
Two hours. That's the question. Like £80, that's... Well, I mean, even for their currency, like imagine paying an $80 taxi ride, like from, I don't know, I guess came in from Ireland, Scotland, so like somewhere you just drove across the entire UK.
I want you to drive me to Wales.
Yeah, you apparently drove across the length of the UK to get here, and that was fine.
Yeah, it's like $60 to $80 US currency.
Whatever the fuck it would be.
Really? Last time I looked, the pound is about like 1.5 to the dollar, meaning that this is like $120.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and like in 2006 money even, like that's...
Oof. So, oh, well, it hurts.
So at questioning very little, Twig calls you to take this taxi to Stonehenge, and you're like, okay, and spend $120, £80
he
on this fucking taxi.
He did say he would
taxi.
Reimburse you or he would cover the cost.
When? When did he say those things?
I guess he texted that to
us. No, I thought he was like...
Absolutely not. No, he just says you have to go to Stonehenge today to meet someone and offered no explanation. You pay the driver £80 and climb out. It looks like the celebrations have already started. There is a large crowd gathered. Almost everyone is dressed in costume. It takes you a few minutes to realize that no one is moving. It takes you a few minutes to realize that no one is moving?
I think that's something I would immediately...
Yeah,
you know, in his defense, it was a long cab ride. Maybe he's like just took a power nap and he's waking up.
Yeah. Even if I was waking up, I would notice if other people weren't moving.
We're completely goddamn stock still, yeah. All right, what's going on? You ask a young man dressed as Pan, the Greek god of nature.
That's very descriptive.
Okay. They say they aren't going to allow anyone into the site, he replies, playing a few notes on his pipes. Something about a terrorist threat against the monument.
Jesus.
Okay, so it's not everyone's frozen, it's just that they aren't, like, moving into the site itself. So okay, that was unclear.
Can he only, like, see the person who's talking to him move, or what?
No, like I'm saying, like everyone's moving. They're just like
they're waiting.
Yeah, they're not frozen. They're just waiting in the queue.
Hmm. So it's like literally at a con, like everyone's in costume. They're just waiting.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. This Stonehenge Summer Solstice Con, you know, classic
Stone Con.
Everybody's
right.
On fire.
Something about a terrorist threat against the monument. Great, you mutter. It's beginning to look like another of Twig's wild schemes. That
beginning
darn Twig.
To look a lot like one of Twig's random crazy screams.
Screams.
Twig is screaming.
I broke my ribs during rock climbing.
He did seem to be awfully calm about that.
He sounds kind of German, too.
But he did offer to pay our entire stream.
Okay, if Twig comes back, I'm reading him as German.
You mean Twig?
Twig, yeah.
T-Vig.
You call him on your cell phone to ask if there's a plan B, but the reception is terrible. You get cut off 3 times before giving up. You scan the crowd. There are a large number of people dressed as druids with gray hooded robes. Okay, oh, so not black or white, it's gray.
I was right!
Not quite.
I said white or gray.
You said white and... You said black and white.
No, I didn't. I said white or gray robes.
Okay.
Damn it.
Large people dressed as druids with gray hooded robes, but no one has silver thread on their sleeves. Suddenly, a small woman dressed as a fairy with sparkles on her face and gossamer blue wings flutters up to you. Hi, I'm Elaine, she says in a clear but soft voice. Hi. You nod.
Hey, baby.
You look like the curious sort, she replies. Do you want to get in to see the henge?
Whoa. You
want to
see my hinge?
As the kids say, the hinge.
Those gaping wings and everything.
Gaping wings. Oh, there's a picture.
Yeah, that's
they're just open.
She looks like a very young version of the stepmother from Shrek 2.
What a great way to pick somebody up, though. Hey,
you wanted to
go up to Stonehenge. Do you want to see my henge?
God. Sure, go but on. I am meeting someone first, you say. You notice Elaine is wearing a strange perfume in addition to her fairy outfit. It is very strong, and you're not sure that you really care for it. I was supposed to meet him inside the outer circle of the megaliths at sunset, but I don't see how I can make that appointment. I can get you into the henge, she says. You can come with me and my friends. This is sketchy.
This is real, just like a trap.
We're getting mugged.
You look up and see Elaine's friends all staring at the two of you. They are all dressed as fairies, men and women both. Some have, okay. I appreciate the inclusiveness.
Yeah.
Some have wings, others don't. Everyone seems to sparkle and flash in the waning rays of sunset light.
Mm-mm, that's a gang. This is a fairy gang.
There are too many cops to sneak past, you say, pointing out to the police spread out in a circle around the monument.
There are too many cops to sneak past.
Yeah. We will have to go around the other way.
Accent probably slipped there. Cops. Not entirely sober.
There are too many stones.
We know an underground passage. The entrance is just on the other side of this barrow, she says, pointing to the low-lying hill that you are standing on. Who are you waiting to meet? That's the problem. I never met him before. He's going to be dressed as a druid, but in this crowd, that's not going to be much help.
You see a fat folk looking like Gandalf?
We took some druids through the passage earlier. Maybe he's already inside. Really? Did one of them have silver thread on his sleeves? Alistair? She gasps his name. Are you meeting Alistair? Oh, he's famous.
Fuck, we're onto something.
Shit, she knows.
You know him, you ask, trying to remember if you had mentioned his name before. You didn't. You don't think so, but your brain seems to be working in slow motion. Maybe you're just tired from all your traveling? Or is it Elaine's odd perfume? Of course I know of him. Alistair is one of the archdruids. Why don't you come with us? Then you won't miss your meeting. If you choose, so we can choose to stay and keep looking for Alistair outside of the gates, or decide to take Elaine's offer and go into the tunnel in the Barrow Mound.
So where were we originally supposed to meet him?
At Stonehenge, which is where we are now.
Yeah. I'm going to say we stay. I don't... No, don't take the fucking chance. We said we're going to meet him at Stonehenge, so we're going to meet him at Stonehenge.
I know, but she knew his name. So you know what? I'm feeling boldened by the alcohol, so I'm going to say we take the risk.
Feels like a trap to me.
Maybe, but maybe we can actually find Alistair. We break free from the trap, and then we run out back to Stonehenge.
Well, let's think about this. What happens if we stay at Stonehenge? What could possibly happen?
We don't get in, and we won't be able to access...
Nothing happens?
Nothing happens, and then we just lose because we're standing there waiting. Yeah.
This she actually knows Alistair's name.
So that's
we
how
never
these
gave
books
it.
Work.
It can. Mm. Like, if you just... So in that Zeus book, if we had just...
Yeah.
Waited at the Parthenon. Instead of going to the Parthenon, if we had stayed at the
little hideaway,
whatever the temple was next door,
the other temple, like the temple next door, if we just
Artemis,
stayed there,
Temple of Artemis.
Thank you, Artemis Berthelfer. Then we likely would have just stayed there. Nothing happened, and then you went home empty-handed.
For the record, this is my first adventure book.
Yeah,
but hopefully not the last.
Yeah,
this is rough.
Okay, yeah, for Dylan, this is his very first adventure book. He listened to us play this Throne of Zeus, but he never did one as a kid. So
no.
Though we have vague memories of how they work, he's gotten none at all.
I'm interested. Okay, so we can stay there, possibly have nothing happen. Or well, what the fuck? Well, if that's the case, I feel like we're kind of forced to do that. We kind of have to go search for
unless you want to, like, wager drinks, you want to just...
And that's
I don't care about wagering drinks.
You could
make the right
be
decision.
Right. Logic has far less to do with these decisions than one would hope.
Well, see, now I'm paranoid thinking about everything. I don't know how this is going to go.
What a twist.
Hmm. Well, either way, you're going to vote. Unless you want to wager drinks, I know how I'm going to vote.
I know how I'm going to vote.
I feel like you're going to go with Jack, so let's just go with Jack. Let's go ahead and follow her.
I will tell you this, though.
It's the worst that could happen.
If it does end up in our deaths, just I will take a shot.
Yeah, why don't you just do that? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
If you say so.
I didn't have to ask him.
Yep.
that's a gesture of goodwill.
So, yeah, we're choosing to go with Stranger Danger Fairy Lady.
I hope the first words are, you're dead.
The end already.
Description just...
She pulls a knife and slits your throat.
You can take me to Alistair, you ask. He and the other archdruids use our entrance, Elaine replies. Come with me. She takes you by the hand and introduces you to the others dressed like fairies. Everyone you meet laughs or claps you on the back as if you were old friends. Some even hug you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, this doesn't sound good.
Yeah, a little cold vibes for sure.
That's just weird.
Or they're just theater people.
That's actually a fair point.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Maybe they're just happy comic-goers.
Oh, boy. Here, okay, so some even hug you.
Welcome, human.
One shouts.
Good start.
Yep, theater people.
These people are really good at role-playing, you think to yourself.
Well, that's my thought.
Hush, hisses Elaine. Danny, you need to go distract the guards for a moment. That's all we need.
Okay. You got it, boss,
says Danny, giving a sharp salute. That's Danny's voice.
So the fairies are
Danny
like
with
the
eyes. It's a girl, but that's what she sounds like.
she's got a really low gravelly voice.
You can't tell. You can't. I mean, if you say you got it, boss, that's what you sound like.
You got it, boss.
You got it, boss.
Been smoking a lot of cigs.
Yeah, you got it, boss.
You can't tell if she is trying to be funny or not. She bounces away towards the guards. Seconds later, she's doing standing flips right in front of them. Elaine whispers, "Now is our chance."
See, I'm telling you, we should have fucking stayed at Stonehenge. Something's wrong already.
You're just doing flips in front of the guards. Whoa!
The shot wager is starting to regret.
I feel like all of a sudden somebody's gonna like jab a spike through my head and the end.
No, possible. It's gonna be a fairy wand, not a spike.
Still an object in your brain. you step away from the crowd toward the far side of the barrow. When you turn its corner, you are almost out of sight. Elaine wades through the tall grasses. You continue to follow. There is an oval wooden door set into the side of the tall mound. The door has thick wooden pegs and elaborate carvings, but no handle. Elaine quickly taps out a complicated knock on the door. It whips inward, and a small hand reaches out and gestures to you to get inside. You follow Elaine into the dark doorway and down a steep, winding hallway lit by torches.
Oh shit, we're at Brewfest?
Beer fest?
Yeah, beer fest.
Brew fest.
Brew fest.
Brew fest.
Wow.
Where everybody just brews beer.
It's not
beer.
Like it's the name of the movie.
Fair point.
It's not like it's the entire plot of the movie either.
It's not like it's on the cover with big fold letters.
Big fold with
bold. Letter. God damn it.
Elaine turns one last corner and you stumble forward into a gigantic dining hall. It might be the largest room you have ever seen. Wooden tables stretch out to the far corners of the room. Hundreds of places are set and most seats are occupied. Everyone is dressed like a fairy, laughing and talking. People throw confetti and there seems to be a flying contest on the far side of the room.
What the fuck?
Oh, shit, really good costumes. You don't see a single person in the gray robes of an archdruid. Elaine, I don't see a single druid, you say. I thought you said Alistair would be here. Well, I thought he could be.
Yo, fucking bitch, liar.
I'll ask.
What? Not necessarily.
All right, fine. She's a liar. I don't know if she's a bitch, but she's a liar.
I'm a bitch. I'm a...
Lover.
I'll ask, she replied cheerfully. She approaches a tall, thin man walking past.
Me?
Alistair, he answers, stroking his chin. The druids departed some time ago for the Henge. That way. Everyone's calling it The Henge, like as if it's New York's newest hot
Henge.
Club.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, everybody around there knows what it is. There's only one Henge.
The Henge.
That's true.
Well, it's actually not Stonehenge. It's actually like semi-marble and formica Henge.
Yeah, wood Henge, marble Henge, mica Henge.
Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
That's the Henge you were talking about.
Stonehenge.
I'm a fan of metal Henge myself.
Metal
Henge.
Metal.
Druids departed some time ago for the Henge. That away, he adds, pointing to a large door at the opposite end of the hall. But I don't think Alistair was with them. Just then, a beautiful woman dressed in green velvet stands on a chair and rings a crystal bell. Welcome, and let the festivities begin. I'm running out of voices. A huge cheer goes out, the side doors open, and waiters begin streaming out with platters heaped with food. Would you like to eat? Elaine asks. The food looks delicious. Juicy roasts, steaming mashed potatoes, salads, condiments, pies, and cakes. Stomach rumbles.
Did you mention salads in there?
I don't think so.
They're not healthy.
Okay.
I'd like to find Alistair, you answer. Someone walks past with a tray of glistening lasagna that smells delicious.
I'm sorry, they had lasagna at Stonehenge?
And
glistening lasagna.
Are they Italian? Like, why? Why lasagna?
It's an elven delicacy to the ancient elves of Stonehenge.
Nothing screams Stonehenge more to me than layered pasta from Italy.
Clearly, druids gave the secret of lasagna to the Italians.
That's it. They really know how to layer their pastas.
They actually just replace some of the cheeses with rocks and like bits of earth instead of sauce. So that's Jewish lasagna.
I don't like it. I don't like that joke.
Not a fan.
Well, you are in touch with nature.
I was just going to say, delicious. I'm not a fan of eating rocky lasagna.
Yeah, also that. Rocky Road, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Rocky lasagna at Stonehenge, nonetheless.
Stone lasagna.
I mean, it puts you in the mood, but yeah.
For what?
Stonehenge.
For what?
Lasagnage?
What does it put you in the
makes
mood for?
Makes you feel like you're being part of the Middle Ages of when Stonehenge was first erected. Oh, just kidding.
How? What are you talking about?
Honestly, I have no idea at this point.
All right, this woman is making me go nuts. Like, what is her deal?
She's
something's
giving us
up.
Food, dude.
So something's up with this party.
Yeah, someone walks past with a tray of glistening lasagna that smells delicious. It couldn't hurt to take a quick bite.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
Mm-hmm. Your mouth is salivating. Then you remember something from preschool. It was a line in a nursery rhyme. Eat a fairy's food, become a fairy slave.
Oh, shit.
That's a pretty common preschool
rhyme. I remember that one.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I don't remember that. Clearly, because I chose this fucking path.
You look around at the jolly crowd. That was just a nursery rhyme, right? Maybe it's time to return to the car park to see if Alistair is waiting for you after all. So, if you would like to so you can make your choice without wait, what?
Oh, third option.
If you would like to make your choice without reading up on the fairies, go to the next page. If you would like a quick refresher lesson in the ways of fairies before you make your choice,
wait,
turn to
this
page.
Wait, a refresher? So we've already talked about the ways of the fairies?
See, apparently we know something about fairies already. We just have to, like, think about it for a hot second.
What is a refresher going to hurt? Might as well be safe than sorry, right?
Sure. Okay, let's go to...
How long is the refresher? It's not like 30 pages.
You need that knowledge,
no.
Shit, that's a long-ass neck.
Yeah, so...
cannot
so
see
looking,
anything.
Okay,
so
we're turning the refresher. So we've got, one dude who... we're looking at Fae Person, example number one, whose neck is about three times as long as their head is high.
So they're a giraffe?
Looks like a damn... Yeah. Like he ate a ruler.
It's like that SpongeBob learns that Squidward likes Krabby Patties, but, like, extended three times higher...
All right.
Including his neck.
So are these the fairies? Is that what we need to know about fairies?
Yeah,
they have
it says
really long
so,
necks.
Okay, these are the pictures. We'll look at the facts here in a second. But so there's that. There's Fae Person, example number two, which is just a woman with pointed ears. And then Fae Person number three, who looks normal, but his eyes were about three times bigger than normal.
So a cocaine.
Oh, my
person.
God. Yeah, he looks like a fucking bat. It's like Dracula
it's
if he
was
a woman.
What's that movie coming out, like the Battle Angel thing where
the woman has
Ayla?
The really fucking huge
Ada
eyes?
This dude looks like that girl.
Yeah.
It's actually, that's pretty accurate how the animation style is.
Yeah, some like anime size eyes here. So, fairy lore. There are many theories. I'm going to power through this. There are many theories about fairies, but it is agreed that they, A, are human in appearance with magical powers, B, do not like iron and will not go near it, C, have magical powers, including flying, casting spells, and foretelling the future. Yeah, you seemed a little bit, like, nonchalant about noticing people having a flying contest in the corner. It's like, that's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, fake flying, or they just, like...
I mean, flying contests in general aren't a thing, whether fake or real, I feel
unless
like.
Unless you're a pilot, I guess, but
yeah, not since you're sailing around the world in 80 days. Like, that's... Yeah. Flying contests are a little over now.
Yeah.
So, powers include flying, casting spells, foretelling the future. The name fairy comes from an old French word, fairy, meaning enchantment.
That was good. I like that accent.
Ooh.
Sure. I can make them French now instead of English.
Yeah,
French
is hard. That's actually really nice.
Some believe that fairies are an intelligent species, similar to humans, but smaller and distinctly different. So similar, but distinctly different.
How are they distinctly different? They give the reasons why they're
that's
distinctly
different. So we are similar, but different.
But completely different. It is believed that they are driven into hiding over 100 years ago by human encroachment on fairy lands worldwide as population exploded during the Industrial Revolution.
John, I'm just like flabbergasted. That's a fantastic French accent.
That really is, actually.
I appreciate it.
Like, that's one of the harder ones to do.
I've heard you do British. This is a first.
Can you do a German now? German and French are very similar.
Ooh, we'll
German,
get to if we come back to if Twig resurfaces, we will go to Twig.
You mean Twig?
Tvig.
Some very habitations are now also underground, like in the place we are now. It's underground.
All right, now you sound like Pink Panther.
I was thinking of the Statue of Liberty from Big
Mouth.
Yeah.
I leaned into it that time.
So, others believe that fairies are angels who have committed a crime or sin. They have been forced to live in the Earth realm and are quite mischievous. These fairies can change their shape at will. Some of their acts can be actually harmful. It is not known whether this is intentional or whether they do not understand how their actions affect humans. Oh, I'm switching back. Fairy time is different. Fairies have a hard time understanding the concept of minutes, hours, days, weeks, etc. People exposed to fairy mischief have reported time travel is one of their dark arts. Fairies can survive without food or nourishment for long periods. When they eat, they tend to overindulge and eat several times their body weight at a single sitting. There are reports that a human who eats fairy food becomes highly susceptible to their schemes and plans, although actual enslavement is rare. So, conclusion.
To be honest, all of these signs are telling me not to eat the fairy food.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to learn these facts, but I need to run the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Everything in this book is screaming at you not to eat the food.
So I don't see one single thing that's saying, yeah, it's probably a good idea to eat the food. All of the context clues are don't fucking eat the food.
It's like you open the book and it just says two words, fucking run.
Yeah, so we're back to the decision now, in which even the wording in the decision, normally it keeps it kind of ambiguous. This is pretty much like blight pushing us. So if you decide to stay with Elaine in the large hall and risk eating the fairy feast before continuing a search for Alistair... So option A, it says risk in the, like, well, maybe we get superpowers. Maybe it's trying to keep us away from this food and it's going to give us fairy superpowers.
Can we fly?
Maybe we can eat some of the fairy mutton and develop fairy wings.
No, that's what they want you to
find Alistair.
That's what they want you to think.
Yeah, see, that was, it wasn't in the movie Peter Pan, but in the original book by J.M. Barrie, clearly, before they fly off to Neverland, Peter has them eat a lot of lasagna.
What?
And that causes them to fly.
Wait. Peter was such a dick.
Wait, no, he gave the kids free lasagna.
He gave them free lasagna.
How
that's
is that
pretty,
a dick
pretty slick.
Well, if you think about it, the lasagna is fairy food, and that's brainwashing food, so he's brainwashing the
not
children.
Not necessarily.
That's a dick.
No, technically it's not enslavement. Enslavement is rare.
You're the one that brought up the word enslavement, which means you saw some form of enslavement in what I just said.
It was literally listed in the book. Like, fairy food does not guarantee enslavement. It makes him slightly more susceptible.
When did those words come out of John's mouth?
He just said it like 2 minutes ago.
Those words did not come out of John's mouth.
I'm not sure. My memory doesn't extend past that.
Oh, fuck you too.
Option A, stay and eat the food, which seems like a great idea. Or B, decide to return above ground to look for Alistair immediately.
Let's go for Alistair.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page there.
I mean, like, these fairies are nice, but that food is too tainted.
Elaine, thank you for the
thank you for the invitation to eat. But I promised my friend Twig that I would meet Alistair. I think I better go back outside and continue to wait, you say as politely as you can. Elaine grins mischievously. Fairy time is different, you know, she announces. She reaches out to a passing tray of chocolate covered strawberries and pops one in her mouth. What is that supposed to mean? We've been here for less than 15 minutes, you answer. Go look for Alistair, then, she replies, skipping off. Good luck. She laughs in a rather snippy way and joins some friends sitting nearby. Oh, boy. You take one last look around the cavernous chamber so you can sketch it later. Oh, okay, so he's got a hobby. All right.
Okay.
All right. And turn on your heels. You nod goodbye to the fairy guards as you return to the narrow, dark tunnel leading to the car park. They murmur something and exchange nervous glances, but they do not try to stop you. The sooner I'm back above ground, the better, you mumble. You retrace your steps and arrive at the oval wooden door. The guard elf is talking on a cell phone and laughing uproariously. He ignores you as you grasp the wooden handle and open the door.
Very professional elf.
Yep.
As soon as you step outside into the green field, the door slams shut behind you. That's funny. The light has changed. It looks like late afternoon. You take a few steps forward and turn to look toward the car park, but it's gone. You run a few more feet forward. The car park and thousands of people should be in plain view, but the fields are empty. The only living thing is a horse-drawn carriage approaching on a dirt road. You wave it down. What happened to everyone? You cry.
Everyone? The carriage stops. I have no idea what you're talking about. The driver replies. He's dressed in an old-fashioned frock coat and top hat.
Oh, no.
I'm in Amesbury, right? Near the Stonehenge Monument. You right? You ask? Right, Amesbury, England, 1844. Are you lost? He answers. 1844? You reply weakly. The end. Fuck.
God damn it.
Ah, I knew our winning streak could not continue. We did the right things.
That's fucking stupid.
Okay, we ran away from the fairies when they offered us drugged food.
So every fucking point of evidence in that was saying, don't eat the food.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, like, so... The book was absolutely tricking us, pushing us not to eat this food.
You and son of a bitch.
It's like I called it. It's like, it's methinks that I'll just son protest too much.
All right. Well, fuck that. Let's go back to the beginning, I guess.
All right. I got to take that shot, though.
All right.
Dylan, you're a...
I'm a tequila guy.
Tequila guy. Okay.
I'll take rum again.
All right.
Jesus.
We lost. Them's the rules. Here comes the shot.
Oh,
God. What are we toasting to?
To the henge.
To the henge. Fuck fairies.
Woo! All right.
Ow!
All right.
Damn, got a little bit of James Brown going.
As per the rules, we got to start over. I'll speed through this part just because we've already read it. Although now is Twig is German, so there's that.
I'm sorry, Twig.
Hey, jumping in here. We did go back to the beginning of the book and read it again, but there's no new information, it's not really good radio, and honestly, this episode is plenty long enough as it is, so we're just going to jump straight into the new material here. Thanks. So we can choose to stay and keep looking for Alistair outside the gates or take up Elaine off on her offer and go to the tunnel in the Barrow Mound.
I feel like we should go with the same decision.
We still want to go into the Barrow Mound?
Just eat the food this time,
yeah,
don't you think?
It's like, yeah,
oh, we want to eat the oak? Okay.
So here's my reasoning behind it. I feel like, okay, look at this from like a movie perspective.
Yeah.
If you're in a movie and you get sent on a quest to go find something, if it's something, say a Stonehenge, where it's a known monument and you know the location of it, you always end up going there and then something happens and you get caught up into something. So if we are going to go with the fairies and we're going to eat the food, then we're going to be under their spell. They're going to control us or whatever. But I feel like that's...
Okay, we can try that.
I feel like that's going to be you know, what we battle against.
It does seem that like either way we're... if we do answer this, we're skipping a step of the hero's journey. Like, we've got the call to action here, which is this stranger danger fairy chick, but we're skipping the step of refusing the call to action.
Yeah.
I'm pulling on my AP English lit class here, which is, again, is like from about a decade ago.
About 10 years ago.
Still, well done. Use of the reference.
Good job. Referencing back to 10 years on your life, sir.
But honestly... I kind of have to go with Dylan on this. I mean, like, obviously we did have kind of like the moment where like all the logic pointed to do this and then we did do it and it just
made us game over.
What's the other option? We stay outside?
Yeah, we can stay outside and keep looking for Alistair outside of the gates take Elaine up on our offer and go into the tunnel in the Barrow Mound.
Feel like just...
All right, we can try and eat the food.
If we don't do something, then nothing's gonna happen.
It's possible. I don't know.
You know what?
Again, logic has very little effect here.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? I'm changing my answer. I'm actually gonna wager drinks and say at least like one drink that we stay here and look for Alistair.
Wager one drink.
Just because I think eating the food just seems like such a terrible idea.
I do too, but I mean...
This may lead us to a game over as well, but I'm going to go with stay outside and keep looking for Alistair.
So let's do it.
All right.
So all right.
John officially has sided with me.
All right.
In the book.
So we got the wager is half remaining drink. So here we go. Thanks, Elaine, but I'll wait here for Alistair just in case. A dark scowl comes over her face, but it fades quickly to be replaced by a fake smile. Your loss. Most would not pass up such an opportunity, she says as she skips over to her friends. The sun sets as you make your way through the crowded car park. It is late and a number of people clad in togas sing loudly as the sun dips. Come on, Animal House. Even though you are far from the circle of stones, you feel a jolt of energy. A huge cheer comes up from the crowd and drums beat. Dancers dressed in kilts with their faces painted blue try to get others to join in the dance. Oh, yes, the traditional Stonehenge Braveheart dance.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You keep scanning the crowd, but still no Alistair. Peering through the bars of the gates to the henge, you can't see anyone in among the giant stones. Someone taps you on the shoulder and says, "Sorry about the mix-up on the meeting place. I think you're looking for me. I'm Alistair."
There we go.
You all around.
Yes!
There is Allie. All right. Since
me,
we just met Alistair, I'm going to count that as a win.
That's
for
fair.
Our camp. We got a picture of Alistair here. It's kind of like a...
Oh my god, that is the fucking Gordon Fisherman.
What?
Gordon Fisherman. Fish stick guy.
Yeah.
What?
That's the fucking Gordon Fisherman.
You put him in like a yellow robe instead of a yellow like rain jacket.
Yeah. Trust the Gordon Fisherman.
I do not remember anything about that. Anything Gordon Fisherman.
Have you ever seen a fish stick commercial?
He's the guy in yellow.
I've never heard of fish sticks before.
I know fish sticks. I know they had commercials.
Yeah, I was thinking of Sean Connery in Last Crusade, but... Yeah.
Looks like that, too.
I mean, yeah.
If those two
had a little pencil-drawn baby, that's a pencil-drawn old-ass baby. That's this.
Pencil-drawn baby with lots of detailed shading.
He does look very similar to either Sir Sean Connery or...
Is he a sir? Is he knighted?
Yeah, he's knighted.
Okay.
I think.
Oh, he's kind of a sexist dick, but...
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of Christopher Lee was the other guy. He looks like he's knighted.
Those are very different people.
That doesn't look...
Sean Connery was not knighted.
I'm on the, Sean Connery Last Crusade train. I am not on the Christopher Lee train here. I disagree. But, okay, so...
That's totally the question.
Alistair Shepherd, you are facing a man in a gray druid's robes. He's not as plump as you expected, Is that like some fat shaming here? I'm not sure.
No, I mean, like,
no, I thought you'd be fatter. I'm kind of disappointed.
Tavig did say
Alistair, you just sounded like a fat guy. What?
Tavig did say he would be a plump man.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Plump or fat?
He said plump.
Why does it matter what he looks like?
Who describes someone as plump?
Tavig, apparently.
Oh, he's a little plump.
He's a little plum.
Are you Professor Plump? Because you've been packing out some pounds.
Are you a witch trying to lure and cook children by feeding them candy? Like, that's the only person the Hans and Gretel witch person who I could see describing anyone as plump.
You're a little plump child.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Hans and Gretel.
He's not as plump as you expected, but otherwise he matches Tvig's description. His hood is pulled back, and he smiles at you kindly in the fading light. I thought we were going to miss one another. You reach to shake his hand. He clasps onto his walking stick instead and hands you a package. Ooh, burn.
Burn.
I don't have much time. The others will miss me before too long. His eyes dart around, but no one else seems to notice him. He has handed you a small box wrapped in plain brown paper and tied with string. He smiles broadly and does not look at it. Keep your eyes on me, he urges. Don't look at the package.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
So we trade in a fairy elven slavery for a mysterious, shady-looking drug deal.
Who tells you not to look at his package while he hands it to you.
And also he darts around looking for everyone else while no one notices
him. Make sure the coast is clear.
Whoa. How do we know these are drugs here?
Package. Don't let the cops see you, but I have a package for you.
You can handle it. Just don't look.
Don't sniff it.
My eyes are up here.
Don't look at my package.
I'm good.
brown box package.
What's in it, you ask? Again, his eyes dart nervously around.
It's a dick in the box!
It's the ceremonial golden sickle passed down by 147 generations of the Sons of Stonehenge. Sons spelled with a U. He then says something in a language you don't recognize. Put it away now, please, he commands.
Thanks, man.
Why don't we get out of this crowd and talk some private, you say, glancing at the boisterous crowd all around you. Okay, so you're into this. You're into this mysterious package touching.
staying
in the crowd is safer. Sometimes they have me watched. We can't talk for long anyway, he says. You casually stow the package in your pack. I thought you had information for Tvig about the Healstone. Alistair grabs your hand, clutching it hard. Forget that.
Forget about Tvig.
Hey, you say, pulling away. He is no longer smiling, and the increasing darkness makes him seem sinister. I need you to take the golden sickle to the British Museum. You must see Standish Bloom, the head of the Ceremonial Antiquities Department. He will know its importance. Standish Bloom.
It's a great name.
That is a hell of a name for a resume.
A terrible name.
If he was not in charge of a British museum, like, what the hell is he even doing with a name like that?
Like, maybe like a British emporium for like an American town. It's like, oh, that's a British person.
His name is Standish Bloom.
He's very standoffish. Offish.
Yep. He will know its importance. Will he meet with me, you ask? Just mention the golden sickle from the Sons of Stonehenge and mention my name, Alistair says. This time he smiles, but it seems forced. You look down at his robe and see the silver thread makes an intricate pattern along the edges of his sleeves. It looks like writing. I must go. I'm doing a grievous betrayal to the Great Oak, even to be telling you of these things. Great Oak, okay.
So he's a traitor. Oh, great.
Apparently,
oak.
To whoever the Great Oak is, I guess that... fairy cult that we died on earlier.
Oh shit, it's Treebeard. They're gonna bring in some imps.
Oh yeah, I think yeah, you're on. Yep. If I'm found out, well, you would never see me again. I only just made okay, bye.
Okay, so
with that he turns away from you and disappears into the crowd.
This dude is sketchy as fuck. Like, you never met him before. He's like, hi, hello there. I'm supposed to meet you. Don't look at anyone else but me. Here's a package. Don't look at the package. Now bring this to the museum person. And he will know my name. Now go.
I may never see you again. Okay.
Dude, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I just met you.
All right, I think you've had just about enough. You gotta go. Oh, and, see you next time.
Everybody wants to hear Twig.
Everybody loves Twig.
I don't care. Okay. Let's go back to there.
Hello, Twig, you say before your best friend can say anything. Ha, you're back. I need your help to do something, your friend replies. No time for chit-chat, Twig snaps. This is serious. Besides, I know you had a good time in Greece because I read your blog. Everyone reads your blog, yeah. You have so many followers on Choose Your Own Instagram.
Choose your own Instagram.
Choose your own Instagram.
You choose
Instagram
on
a blogging system.
It is now.
It's Instagram is, but you choose your own filters. But
you blog with pictures.
Blog with those captions, yeah.